A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship and Holy Communion. On behalf of the congregation, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or who are doing so after a long time. We will be having godly play this morning so the children can move directly to the Sunday school hall for their activity. We want to also welcome those who are worshiping via Zoom. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 116, verses 1 to 9. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Our first hymn, Immortal, Invisible God, Only Wise, hymn 132. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you raised Jesus, your Son, from the dead on the cross to the glory of the resurrection. May our faith in the risen Lord bring new meaning to our daily life. Lord Jesus Christ, when all are deaf with the busyness of life and we feel endlessly removed from all that gives us reason to live and courage to go on, we turn to you, our brother and our friend, to speak the words of regret and fear that weigh us down and hold us back. When joy should have been our garment, we chose the darkness of envy. When mercy should have marked our speech, we chose the words of judgment. When gentleness should have graced our actions, we chose the harshness of the desert heart. Our hope is in vain unless we turn to you. So now we come, ashamed, resentful, knowing that we are broken, but finding words, admitting failure, sticking in our constricted throats. And we say to you, help us, forgive us, Lord, forgive us now. Unworthy we may be, but unloved we are not. Today, O Father, we come before you with penitent hearts, that you will forgive us and remake us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful, 137.
Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 25, and it's verses 1 to 9. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin, the foreigner's stronghold a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wall, and like the heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of foreigners. As heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud, so the song of the ruthless is stilled. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." Our second reading is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. We continue our service by singing the hymn, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less."
Thank you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. The Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Boris Johnson, recently said that the war in Ukraine amplifies Jesus Christ's message of good triumphing over evil. Delivering his speech on Twitter on Easter Sunday, 17th April, last week, the Prime Minister paid tribute to the Christians of Ukraine, those who were marking Easter last week, or their Orthodox brethren celebrating today. He spoke about how Christ's message of hope, the triumph of life over death and good over evil, will resonate this year perhaps more than any other year. Boris Johnson also spoke in Ukrainian language, referencing Psalm 31, verse 24, by telling viewers, "Be strong and have courage in your heart, you all who trust in the Lord." He ended by saying that Easter tells us that there is light beyond the darkness, that beyond the suffering lies redemption. The Labour leader, Keir Starmer, also released a video telling Christians around the world, "I know you draw inspiration from the life of Jesus and the Easter story, which is a message of overcoming adversity and of hope, of light overcoming darkness." Now, I think a paper entitled "How British Politicians Became Church Ministers" will make for a very good read. But what is interesting about their thoughts is the way in which they place despair and hope side by side to bring encouragement to the suffering people of Ukraine and people who are suffering in other parts of the world. And at least there is something useful about the Prime Minister for those who have put him in the spotlight because of the events at Westminster we all know from the news. The idea here is that there is always some light at the end of the tunnel. No matter the problems and challenges that we face, we can always be hopeful. Dick Richardson was right when he commented that for every mile of road, there are 2 miles of ditch. In his autobiography, Dick speaks of addiction and adventure, crime and punishment, hardship and challenge. Dick Richardson has been to hell and back again, struggling through addiction and recovery and coming out on top. His life as a sailor introduced him to the rougher side of life, but his own bad decisions sucked him into a downward spiral through the pain of drug and alcohol addiction. Poignant and raw, Richardson's memoir leaves no detail unspoken, sharing the gritty reality of his struggle for healing acts as both a warning and an encouragement for all of us. Life is tough, but it doesn't have to stay that way. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a great picture of contemplating the topic of suffering in life and in the Christian journey for the most part. You know, as I don't need to remind you, there are always two groups, or there are two groups of people representing two varying opinions about suffering in the Christian faith. On the one hand, there are those who say, once you become a Christian, there is victory in Jesus. It's your best life now, and you will never suffer again. These are the prosperity gospel preachers and believers who deny the cross and hang on to the crown only. On the other hand, there are those who say the Christian life is all about suffering for Jesus. It's about pain, despair, gloom, and agony every day. They hang on to the cross and deny the crown. And on the middle road is the true biblical teaching about suffering, which is the fact that we live with the tension of good and evil in this world, but we trust that God gives us the fortitude to overcome our challenges and look to something more rewarding, something peaceful in the hereafter. That is why the Apostle Peter asks us to be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. We know that gold is one of the most valuable materials on earth. It has been used for centuries as money, but it also has many uses in industry, manufacturing, and even space flight. One of the traits that makes gold so useful is that it can be shaped and formed so easily. In fact, a single ounce of gold can be flattened out to cover 300 square feet. But gold, ore dug out of the ground, contains many other elements that must be removed prior to the gold being useful. The refining process for gold involves intense heat. Gold melts at a temperature of almost 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit or 1,093 degrees Celsius. That incredibly high temperature is required for gold to be ready for use. The Christian life involves much the same process. Sometimes we are surprised when bad things happen to good people, or when bad things happen to Christians at all in a world God has called good. But the scripture tells us that fiery trials are part of God's refining process for our lives. Rather than gripping or complaining when trials come, we should rejoice as we think of the end result they will produce. Verse 7b of 1 Peter 1, when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. My dear Christian friends, what are the problems you are facing in your life currently? Are there problems caused by wrong choices you have recently made or have made in the past? Problems caused by others because of ill will or some form of carelessness that has now affected your own being? Or are you suffering from some disability and you think you can't achieve your goals in life because of that? If you are going through hell, don't stop fighting. You are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You are experiencing a dark night. Remember, dawn always comes. The psalmist says, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Think of the positive parts of your life, those little extraordinary things you can achieve with ordinary abilities and even disabilities. In May of 2001, Eric Wehenmeyer accomplished something that only about 150 people can do each year, reaching the top of Mount Everest. The thing that made Erickson's achievement unusual is that he was the first blind person to succeed in scaling the tallest mountain in the world. Eric was born with a disease called retinoschisis, and by the time he was 13, he was completely blind. Rather than focus on what he could not do, he made the choice to focus on what he could do and went much further than almost anyone expected. Eric's autobiography is titled Touch the Top of the World, A Blind Man's Journey to Climb Farther Than the Eye Can See. Dear friends, life is about choices, the choices we make. Shall we allow obstacles to stop us so keep pressing on regardless of opposition and trouble? It would be nice if following God meant that things would always work out well and people would always like us. But the reality is that many times doing what is right requires overcoming obstacles. We should not expect constant smooth sailing, nor should we allow troubles that arise to convince us to quit. When all hope seems lost in the world, we have hope in Jesus Christ. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, we know that the future is better. And spiritual growth is often achieved by trials and adversity than by comfort and tranquility. Trials can teach us that faith in God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ is the source of inner strength. I like what John Newton wrote about carrying burdens. This is what he says. I compare the troubles which we have to undergo in the course of the year to a great bundle of sticks, far too large for us to lift. But God does not require us to carry the whole at once. He mercifully unties the bundle and gives us first one stick, which we are to carry today, and the other, which we are to carry tomorrow, and so on. This we might easily manage if we would only take the burden appointed for us each day. But often we choose to increase our troubles by carrying yesterday's stick over to today and adding tomorrow's burden to our load today before we are even required to bear it. Dear friend, suffering is going to come, but it doesn't have to overcome us. We can cast our cares upon Jesus because He cares for us and experience God's abundant hope, God's abundant peace, and God's abundant joy. We love God even though we have never seen Him. That is faith. And though we do not see Him now, we trust Him, and we rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of our souls. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to set our hope fully on the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Help us, O Father, not to allow our minds to be swayed. Help us to devote every ounce of mental, spiritual, and emotional energy to concentrating and contemplating on the grace that is to come, the grace of the heavenly inheritance that awaits all those who trust in you. Amen. Ye gates, lift up your heads on high. Hymn number 19. Dearly beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have desired to receive God's grace and love in the sacraments of Holy Communion. Many as we are one body. Therefore, acknowledge each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Let us now, in communion with the whole Church of Christ, offer to God a sacrifice of praise by professing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand, if you may. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Dearly beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord Jesus Christ on the night in which he was betrayed took bread and wine, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart to the holy use and mystery for which he has appointed them. And as he blessed these holy things and gave thanks, let us also come near to God and present to him our prayers and our thanksgiving. Let us pray. Lord God, we bring to you the ordinary things of life, bread, wine, and money. And in bringing them, we bring ourselves. Take us and our gifts of money to do your work in the world. Take this bread and wine from us and feed us through them with your love by the power of the Holy Spirit. Gracious Father, we come before you with thanksgiving and praise. For we know it is always right and our duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for your endless glory and redeeming love. For through him you have created all things and have given us life and have protected us. But above all, you have shown your love in sending your beloved Son into the world, who humbled himself to lift us up to you. Father, you are holy, and you are merciful because you loved the world so much that you gave your only Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Not as we ought, but as we are able, do we bless you for the precious gift of this gracious Savior, the Son of the Virgin who went about doing good, the holy sacrifice who made himself the means by which our sins are forgiven, the loving mediator who has reconciled us with you, the mighty victor who has overcome death and has given reason in glory and majesty, the living bread given for the food of the world. And we bless you for the gift of the Holy Spirit going out from him and from you, and for the promise of his coming again in power and great glory. Therefore, having in remembrance his blessed passion, his wonderful resurrection, and his glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again, we, your servants, together with all your people, celebrate this memorial which he has commanded us to make. And we most humbly pray you to send your Holy Spirit to make holy both us and these gifts of bread and wine which we have set before you, that this bread may be to us the bread of eternal life, and this cup the cup of everlasting salvation, and that we who trust in your many mercies may be made partakers of the new life in Jesus Christ with all his benefits, to the glory of your most holy name. We give you thanks for our fellowship with all your church in heaven and on earth, and we pray you to fulfill in us the purpose of your redeeming love, through Jesus Christ, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be given to you, O Father Almighty. Our Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Can I ask you to kindly take out your cups? And just take out the first lead of the bread. Jesus Christ, on that night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had blessed and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. The body of Christ broken for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Please eat your bread. In the same way also, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and when he had blessed and given thanks to God, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me." The blood of Christ broken for you on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink. See what love Christ has for us, that while we were yet sinners, he went to the cross and died so that we may have life and have life in its fullness. Having now by faith received the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ, let us give thanks. O, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let us pray. Lord God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we render to you all glory, thanks, and praise for your great goodness that you have permitted us to make this memorial of your Son, our Savior, and his sacrifice on the cross. You have received us into communion with him and with all who love him, and have fed us with this spiritual food. And we humbly pray you so to assist us with your grace, that we continue in this holy fellowship and live from now on to your glory. God, our Heavenly Father, today we receive thanks. You receive our praise. For on this day your mercy speaks and grace upon grace envelops life, our lives and the whole world, that no person, community or continent is left untouched by your unfettered love. We thank you for hopes renewed, for plans reframed, for peace restored, for love rekindled. Hear our prayers. For private things within our homes that have brought joy, for the delight of loved ones who have blessed our days, for generosity shared and reminders of our deepest connection to those both near and far, who shape and share our lives, thank you, God, the greatest gift giver of all. O God, interpreting ever uttered word and silent thought, we come to you to seek your understanding heart with prayers we need for daily living, for courage to face the challenges of these days, with concerns for family, friends, and colleagues. Hear, Lord God, our prayers. In recent times, the needs and wants of people woven into our lives have come to light. So hear our prayers for those whose grip on life is loosening and those whose hope for better times is fading and those whose health is far from good and those whose frailty brings some new frustration. We pray again, O Father, for the people of Ukraine, that you, O Father, will keep them safe. Give wisdom to world leaders that they may, through their own leadership, bring this war to an end. We pray again, O Father, for the hurts and hungers that have not gone away, the injustices that run like vivid wounds across the soul of humanity that remain raw and sore. We pray for women and men shut out, shut down, shut up through indifference and cruelty, for families broken, friendships sundered, communities on edge, and a world uneasy with itself. Father, we pray. God bless our Queen and all who hold responsibility and governance in their hands and in their daily work. We must not pray for things for which we do not work towards. So let us work and pray today for justice, addressing exclusion, for education, addressing ignorance, for open-handed love, replacing tight-fisted selfishness, for commonwealth, replacing private greed, within communities of faith, your church. Let action match our words, and willingness to welcome and invite become the hallmarks of our living faith, that every corner of the church's life might bear the image of the Word made flesh. We thank you for our congregation and parish here in Newport. Bless us and bless our witness in the community and further afield. This is our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lo, in the grave he lay. Junior Praise 159, our final hymn. in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.